where he comes and he moves and he speaks and he reveals truth and he does his thing. And, you know, usually God waters the land with gentle rains, but once in a while he sends a cloudburst of his spirit. And that's what revival is, or the great awakenings, revitalization of thousands of Christians. And in 1904, I'm going back quite a ways here, the news of revival that was happening in Wales began to travel to the Americas. And it reached a point where it was generating so much religious interest, if you will, that nearly 60,000 people had professed faith in Christ, has been reported. In Newark, the press dedicated an entire column every day to what was happening in the churches. In Atlanta, there were 1,000 businessmen united for prayer and intercession to God on November the 2nd. And as a result of that, stores and offices were closed at midday so people could go to prayer meetings. In Louisville, Kentucky, one man wrote this: "The whole city is breathing a spiritual atmosphere. Everywhere, in shops and stores, in the mill, in the street, salvation is the sole topic of conversation." Wow. Perhaps the most striking event or example of revival occurred in Denver in 1905, in January of all months. The cold, dreary, downcast, short, light days of January, there was a revival that spread there. And there was a day of prayer in the city declared. And by 10 o'clock in the morning that day of January 20th, churches were filled with seekers. By 11:30 that morning, almost all the stores were closed so that people could go to the prayer meetings. And at 12 noon, the mayor of the city dedicated four different theaters to be, and they were filled with prayers seeking God. In Portland, one writer says this: "For 3 hours a day, business was practically suspended, and from the crowds in the great department stores to the humblest clerk, from the bank presidents to the bootblacks and all of the people in between, I all abandoned making money so that they could seek after God." Whoa, that's a revival. I want to share with you this, that not only during the Great Awakenings did this happen, but wherever Jesus Christ was revealed and proclaimed through the years, even when he walked the earth, there was change. There was a renewal. When Christ shows up, everything changes. I want to tell you a story that we find in the Bible about this very thing in Luke chapter 19. Many of you, especially if you grew up in Sunday school through the years, you'll know this story. In fact, there's songs written about this story. And we love to talk about it because it's so interesting. And here it is. Jesus entered Jericho, the city of Jericho, and he was just passing through. Yeah, Jesus, I don't think Jesus ever just passes through anywhere. "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he was very rich." Now, let me pause here and say, if you know anything of the history of tax collectors, especially some 2,000 years ago, you had to be brave and audacious and dishonest to be a tax collector. The tax collectors were hired by the government to collect a certain amount of tax, but they could do it any way they wanted to, and they could ask for whatever amount they wanted to. So, and it was legal. Have you ever noticed that just because something's legal doesn't make it right? Yeah. And that's what was happening here. And they took advantage of people. And the tax collectors were one of the most hated individuals of that culture in that day. You got the picture? He's not a popular guy. He is wealthy, but he's certainly not popular. Okay, so this tax collector, Zacchaeus, had heard. He had heard about this Jesus who was doing wonders and miracles, and the crowds were following him, and all these stories, and he wanted to see it for himself. And so it goes on, it says, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the humongous crowd, he couldn't get a glimpse of him because he was small in stature. So Zacchaeus ran on ahead of the crowd and he climbed up into this tree so that he could see Jesus as he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place of the tree, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, oh, by the way, they've never met before. Well, sort of. He looked up at the tree and he called him by name, Zacchaeus. Now, all Zacchaeus wanted was just to get a look at him. Okay? He was hoping that all of this effort, he could at least see the guy in action. Right? And get this, maybe gain something from it, but that's all he was after. He wasn't looking for anybody to call out his name. But Jesus, whom he had never personally met, comes along and looks up in the tree and calls him by name. Jesus came to town, didn't he? Oh, he's in town. Yeah. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, get out of that tree. Now, if it had been you or I there, we'd have said to the guy beside us, what's that wacky guy doing up in a tree? I mean, he's not a kid, obviously. He's an adult. And what is he, some kind of Tarzan or something? We'd have passed by and never even acknowledged the guy, right? Like some wacko up there. But Jesus called him by name and said, come down. And not only did he say, I want you to come down from the tree, but I'm going to go to your house today. Wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't tell the wifey to get the place cleaned up. I didn't prepare any snacks. In fact, I didn't even expect you to see me. And now Jesus suddenly, they meet eye to eye. And Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house today. I'm just trying to take in the aura of what this must have felt like. So Zacchaeus hurried down and he received him joyfully. And when they, the crowd, saw it, they all grumbled. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. If somebody else is experiencing, especially if we don't like them, and they're experiencing something good and we're not, we want to grumble about it. Said, so they grumbled, he's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord. Now we're skipping some of the story here because we don't have all the details, but they're at the house and they're engaging with one another. And Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I'll give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your home. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Oh, now, there's got to be more to this story, right? I mean, there's some conversation, there's some engagement going on while Jesus is staying at his house that we don't have. So I have to use my imagination a little bit and kind of figure, what did they talk about? I have a feeling that Jesus got down to the nitty-gritty. So, you're a thief. So, you're very wealthy and you've gotten your wealth illegitimately. So you don't care about people. Now, I don't picture Jesus being harsh, but I picture him being truthful. Because only the truth will set us free, right? So I think they discussed this, and probably Zacchaeus came up with a few excuses. Well, this is all I know is numbers. It's all I know to do, and he's probably laying out all of his excuses and trying to rationalize, but I picture Jesus standing there kind of going, no words were necessary. And I have a feeling that Zacchaeus got the message. In fact, I know he did. That there's more to life than your scandals. There's more to life than you getting more. There's more to life than deceiving people and getting the things you want. In fact, God has a whole lot more for your life. For you are valuable to Him. Not because of things you can do or not do, but you're valuable because of who you are, Zacchaeus. Because you are made in the image of God. You have been given a soul. You have the capacity to know and love God if you'll just embrace it. Zach, you're valuable. So, you know, as I imagine this experience in this house, something pricked the heart of this Zacchaeus to the point where he knew that he wanted his life to be different. Yeah. In fact, I don't believe that Zacchaeus was ever really satisfied with his life. I think it always bugged him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been searching for something different, for some answers. He had something in him that he knew needed to be straightened out. Let me tell you something. We all have stuff in our life that needs to be straightened out. And so we need a God who is bigger and stronger and holier than we are in order to survive. This story reminds me of what happens when Jesus pays us a visit. I'm talking about Jesus comes to town and he says, "Hey, you. Jim, Lon, Loretta, hey Bob." And he calls us by name and we begin to sense his spirit pulling on us. And so there's some things that happen. First of all, when Jesus shows up, there's curiosity in the air. Yeah, when Christ entered Jericho, people lined the streets to see this parade, to see this man they had heard about. The crowd was so great that this wee little one had to climb a tree. Verse 2 tells us this, that he was not just a tax collector, but this guy was a chief tax collector. He was at the top of the scale of tax collectors. And he was rich. And, of course, he was an extortionist and evil and hated and... But Christ came and saw him and acknowledged him. And how could a man like that, how could a people like that who Jesus is speaking to not say, I want to tell me more. Show me more. I want to know who you are. I'll tell you what. If you go to God and you say to him earnestly and sincerely, I want to know more about who you are. He will show you. Give him an open door. He's not silent. He's not deaf or mute. He's not busy doing other things. He's God. And he will take time to lead you in the way of truth if we seek him. And there was curiosity in the air. Curiosity, it may kill the cat, but it's good for us. When we cry out to God out of curiosity, and when people become aware that God is working in their midst, and the curiosity of the crowd is aroused, and notorious sinners want to see what God is doing, look out. Revival's about to happen. Christ comes to town and faith is revived. Christ shows up and the curious begin to investigate his power and his presence. Now, even the hardened tax collectors wonder what all the fuss is about. Oh, so that's the beginning when Jesus shows up. Second thing, when Jesus makes a visit, when he comes and he begins to stir things, there's something else that happens. There's this thing called confrontation that happens. And we're face to face with Jesus and his truth. And we have to either acknowledge it or deny it. But he's looking straight into our hearts and into our eyes. There's a confrontation. And confrontation, we think of it in a negative tone. But the confrontation I'm talking about is in a positive tone. Where we're face to face with truth and God is calling us to respond. That kind of confrontation. Direct contact. You, Zacchaeus, I'm talking to you. And I'm coming to invade your space. And you're going to have to make a decision of what you're going to do about it. That's what love does. That's what real love does. Isn't it good that Christ always takes the initiative first? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He takes the initiative, doesn't he? That still small voice that's speaking to us saying, look up. That sense of longing for something more, that's God. Okay, those things are God moving. Whenever truth is revealed, that's God moving. Okay? And so in this situation, we have to make decisions. He takes the initiative, and Zacchaeus, bless his little heart, Zacchaeus was one that Jesus decided to move upon personally and directly. He'll do that. He brings us to the points, you know. That was no just accident that they kind of... God had been unknowingly preparing the way for that encounter. Didn't catch God off guard. He had a way. And it was a setup, really. And when God sets up a meeting with us, we better set up and take notice. Yeah. He had this planned meeting, and the question for us today, as it was for Zacchaeus, was do we really want to meet God personally? Do you really want to meet the God of the entire universe? The one who has always been and always will be. Do you want to face up to what it is to acknowledge your sin and embrace his forgiveness? Do you really want a change of life? Because until we settle that, we're not listening very well. Or are you satisfied with just doing it the way you've been doing it? My question is, how's that working for you? Right? An awakening, the great awakenings happened because Jesus showed up. So we have confrontation. Thirdly, we have conversion that happens. When we have when we have curiosity and then we move to the face-to-face thing because we've been looking and seeking and wanting, and Jesus then initiates this invitation, come unto me, and we respond, then something extraordinary happens. It's called conversion. We have a lot of titles for it. Being saved. Converted to Christ. Getting a new heart. Lots of descriptions of it, but it's a conversion. And you know what conversion is, right? Where one thing becomes another thing. It's still the thing, but it's different. What do they call those things we used, the toys? Transformers. You remember those? I don't know if they still make those or not. Or it came as a car, and then you could finagle it, and it'd become a person. That's a conversion. Okay? Same parts, same pieces, only made new into something different. A restoration, a conversion. So everyone, the person is affected, everyone around the person becomes affected because that person has now changed. Their heart is different, their way of thinking is different, their way of dealing with life is different because now it's about Jesus in my life. That's what happened to Zacchaeus. Jesus came in, and he was like, there's no way I can go back to being what I used to be. Not after this. Not after having Jesus in the house. I can't go back to what I used to be. And so I'm going to have to be somebody different, and only Jesus could change a man that much. Now, see, there were laws about if you took advantage of people. Like, if you took from them, you needed to give back what you took, plus like a 0.05% or something like that of compensation for your evil doing. This guy said, I'm going to give back fourfold of what I took from everybody. What I took plus fourfold. That's extreme, okay? So if I took $10 out of your wallet, Nate, can I see your wallet for a minute? No, I'm just kidding. So if I took 10 from him, he's going to get how much back? 50, yeah. So that would be a good deal, wouldn't it? Now, this guy, I'm sure, took more than 10 bucks out of their wallet. So these people are going to, they're going to get a good payoff. Not only did he say that, but I'm going to give half of everything I own to the poor. He's a very wealthy man. This is extreme. I mean, he was so touched by the presence of Jesus in his house and what Jesus said to him and what Jesus did for him and what Jesus called him to. He was so enamored with this that he got extreme. You go, Zach. He got extreme. It's like, if I'm going to change, I'm going to change good. I'm not going to mess around with this. I'm going to go the distance. When God sends a revival to our soul, it's usually reported in the masses. It's reported in the press, and a number of people end up making restorations to other people. And you know what? This has probably been 2 years ago now. We had a letter come to the church from somebody that came to this church when she was probably in her 70s now. She came when she was a little girl to this church. Said, I'm so-and-so. I never heard of the name before in records or anything. And when I was a child, I came to the church there. And she said, one Sunday when they were passing the plate, I took a dollar out of the plate and kept it. And she said, it's troubled my soul all these years, and I have to make it right. She sent us a check for $100. And to me, that was a sign of she wanted to do right because God is right. She wanted to make restitution for something that we didn't know about. And probably if she needed a dollar, we'd have said, take it, right? But in her heart, she wanted... Remember when the rich man went up to Jesus that one day, and he said, a good teacher, and Jesus stopped him right there. He said, wait, why do you call me good? Only God is good. It was prophetic. It's like, you're calling me God, and you're absolutely right. Yeah. He said, why do you call me good? Because God is good, and Jesus is the Son of God. Fully God. That mystery. And so the heart that is drawn by Jesus wants what is good. Doesn't it? So we've seen in past revivals when God showed up and changed a community or a church or whatever, there's a lot of restoration that took place. I got to go back and make this right. I have to make a phone call this afternoon to fix this relationship that I broke. I've got to send something in the mail. And all kinds of restorations have come out of revival times where God moved. It's reported that even custom agents back in the Great Awakenings reported people coming to confess that they lied about the goods they had taken across the borders. All kinds of things were happening out of these great awakenings. It's called having a conscience again. Yeah. And when Christ comes to town, people are changed. It's called conversion. Their hearts, their minds, their mannerisms, their way of doing life is changed because God is good. Yeah. Just ask Zacchaeus. I hope you look him up when you get to heaven. Look him up and say, tell me more about your story. I bet he'll fill you in on some tremendous testimonial insights. I'd like to think that maybe afterwards, maybe he became an evangelist. I don't know. We don't know, but I guarantee you this. He was such a changed man that he was telling other people about it. Not only showing them, I think he was telling them what happened. Think of that witness. Think of all the taxpayers that were witness to that change. Only in heaven we'll discover those things. Now, what do you think would happen if we were serious about really embracing Christ, knowing Him, accepting Him?
Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I come to know weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me to your side. With you, your spirit leads me on by the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes, let me see you face to face, the knowledge of your love as you live in me. Renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me, draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. And I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me. Draw me to your side, and as I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Just going to close with these words.
Tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But though